My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus and in our Blessed Mother. I was at the movies last week to see the movie Letters to God. It's running in the theaters right now. I don't know if you've seen it or not. But the movie depicts the story of a 12-year-old boy whose life is put on hold when he's diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. Instead of losing his faith and hope, Tyler does something remarkable. He begins to write a letter a day to God. He writes to God about his illness, his family, his friends, and even a schoolmate who dislikes him intensely. He would mail these letters in the mailbox every day. But it was not about what he wrote in these letters. Through these letters, he soon becomes a surprising source of hope and inspiration to those around him. In fact, the movie depicts the changes in the meaning and the purpose of life for Tyler's family, his neighborhood, the local church, the mailman, and anyone else that came in contact with him. Now, on the periphery, this is a very simple movie. I might say it's a little too simplistic. It does not answer the deeper questions that emerge in our minds. It does not deal with the why and the what of suffering. But what it does is that it lays out the basic tenets of evangelical Protestant faith. Unconditional faith in Jesus, enduring all things in faith, asking the question, what would Jesus do, accepting Jesus as one's personal Lord and Savior, and etc., etc. So I call this movie a back to the basics kind of movie. It takes evangelical Protestant Christians back to the basics of their faith. So my homily this week is something like that. It's very simple. And I've entitled it Back to the Basics. And I'm going to focus on just one phrase of today's gospel reading. The words of Jesus, where he says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." There are three verbs in this phrase: hear, know, and follow. Now, if we could develop a spirituality based on just these words, we would have a pretty good hold on our spiritual life. And so I would like to expand on each of these words and propose these words as the practical implication for the homily. So here's the first word, hear. From the very early days of the formation of Israel as a nation, the word hear had a very special significance. The phrase the Jews refer to as the Shema begins with the word hear. And you find the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. The Lord, hear, O Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Shema is a prayer or a statement that separated Judaism from the rest of the pagan world. As opposed to the rest of the cultures around them, Israel believed in God as one. This one verse gave Israel its identity. But Shema meant more than just hearing through one's ears. It included understanding and obedience. Now perhaps Jesus used the word hear to remind Israel of the Shema. But maybe also because it was an analogy that people of this predominantly rural Palestine would get the relationship between a sheep and a shepherd. The fact is that flocks of sheep recognized only one voice. And that is the voice they followed. Amidst all the other voices, other sheep, other shepherds, other dangerous animals, they must pick out the voice of the shepherd. And if they failed to hear that voice, their life could be in jeopardy. So what's the practical implication from understanding the word here? The entire Bible is for us the voice of the shepherd. The entire Bible. And as Christians, the words, the life, and the ministry of Jesus put together, that's the voice of the shepherd. So I don't mean the voice as this inner voice within me. That's not what I mean by voice today. I mean the entire life of Jesus. This voice is the way to purpose and meaning in life for us. So Jesus suggests in today's gospel reading, for example, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And so here is where we must go back to the basics today. As an individual, the question I have to ask myself is, am I hearing the words, the life, the ministry of Jesus and what they're saying to me? What is the life of Jesus saying to me? As parents, are you sure that your children hear the voice of God through you? And I don't mean what you say, but your life. Are there other voices we hear? Voices that might take us away from eternal life? My second point, the word no. And no is a very loaded term in the Old Testament. For example, Genesis 4:1 says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, who conceived and brought forth Cain. Now the sense in this passage is of sexual intimacy. But the word no is also used with regard to God's relationship with his people. And it does not merely mean in the sexual sense, but it does carry the sense of a deep, intimate relationship as among friends. For example, God says to the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jesus would say, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So the sense in which no is used here refers to deep understanding and intimacy. The practical implication from the word no. Jesus says in today's gospel reading, I know my sheep. Now, as a back to the basic question for us today, my focus is not on God's knowledge of us. I would like to focus on our knowledge of God. Now, for me, it seems that know is the next level after hearing. The more I hear God, the more I get to know God. It's the knowing that brings deep understanding and intimacy. It's like falling in love with someone. First there is attraction. Then there is talking and hearing. Then there is understanding and knowledge. And then there is marriage and intimacy. My dear friends, God is calling us not merely in obedience in some legalistic way. God does not call us for fear of punishment. God does not call us to judge us. Rather, God calls us to knowing, to understanding, to love, to intimacy with God. and the final word follow. At the end of the hearing and knowing is a choice. To follow or not to follow. To follow in the biblical sense does not merely mean to follow after in some senseless and non-thinking kind of way. To follow means to become a disciple. One meaning of follow is to place one's foot into the footmarks of the master. Another meaning of follow is to form oneself in the pattern of the master. Now, when Jesus invited either the apostles or the disciples to follow him, he means all these things. They must form themselves in such a way that their life and Jesus' life become identical. So what's the practical implication from this? Last Thursday at the school mass, I merely pointed my index finger towards my head, and immediately the kids knew what I wanted. They said, "Think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus." My friends, I'm very, very glad to have this year that we are celebrating here in this parish as the year of radical discipleship. If our kids can learn, think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and act like Jesus, I think we've accomplished Catholic education the best way possible. So I guess follow for us today as a back to the basic kind of thing means that as a Christian, as a parishioner at Immaculate Conception Church, that we must be disciples, that we must be people who think like Jesus and talk like Jesus and act like Jesus. And the more seriously we put this into practice in our lives, the more radical we become as disciples. So here we are, folks, at this Eucharist. Jesus, the shepherd, in the bread and wine, asking us to hear, to know, and to follow him so that we may end up with Jesus in eternity. So let's encounter the Good Shepherd. And as we receive the Shepherd in Holy Communion, let us make a resolve to hear, to know, and to follow him. Amen.